Hello there, everyone. Happy Friday. It is Denise. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is June 24th, and as you guys know, Fridays is always a double dose of pro wrestling action. That is right. We got 2 hours of SmackDown, 1 hour of Rampage to go ahead and jump into here today. On top of that, we are heading into a massive wrestling weekend with the first ever co-promotional show between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door happening this Sunday. And I got to tell you, I'm a little stressed out today, everybody. This is probably going to be a short show because I literally have to be at the airport at like 3, or I have to leave at my house at 3 a.m., which probably means I'm going to get about less than 4 hours of sleep tonight because I haven't even packed yet. And I should be in Chicago at some point tomorrow. I don't know why I booked these early flights. I literally just screw my damn self. But either way, so I'll be flying out to Chicago tomorrow morning, and I'll kind of have the day to, you know, catch up on some work, just, you know, get set for the day. And then Sunday, I will be at Warrior Wrestling. I'm going to be taking part in the Fan Fest. And then I also have a spot on the show. They're hosting a homecoming, and apparently I'm supposed to be announcing the prom and the prom king and the queen and king. I better practice my lines. I still don't really know what I'm supposed to do, but we'll find out. And then on top of that, immediately following that, I'm going to be heading on over to Forbidden Door and, you know, kind of doing my due diligence there, watching the show, and then being at the media scrum immediately afterwards. So it is nonstop madness for the next couple of days. And then I come back from Chicago. I'll be in Los Angeles for a couple of days. And then immediately, I believe on Thursday, I fly out to Las Vegas for Money in the Bank. So it is just nonstop action here. Total nonstop action is my life. All right, guys. Before we get into everything here today, I want to ask the chat here because I want to give you the people, the power here. And please let me know, do you guys want me to kick off today's stream talking about SmackDown or talking about Rampage? Now, I feel like today we have a little bit of stuff to talk about SmackDown and a little bit of stuff to talk about Rampage. So I feel like we could do either or, but I'm going to let the live people here decide what it is that they want to do. In the meantime, while you guys get your comments in here on whether or not you want me to talk about SmackDown or Rampage first, I do want to do a quick plug because over on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo, I did a new interview with Malakai Black. This is the first time I've ever interviewed Malakai Black. And I was so excited, guys, because it's kind of hard to get AEW interviews. So whenever I can get them, it just works out because they do pretty well on my channel. So if you guys haven't, please go check out that interview. Leave a comment, leave a thumbs up so that AEW can see, hey, you know what? Denise actually gets some views. You know what? Denise gets traction. Let's give her more AEW interviews. So please head on over to youtube.com/Denise Salcedo and give some love to that Malakai Black interview or retweet on Twitter, whatever you can. Share it. I don't care. Tag AEW. I don't care. I want them to be like, you know what? Denise Salcedo, we got to give her more interviews. So seriously, I'm going to have to use you guys. All right. So BTW, everybody here said Rampage. There was like 3 SmackDown comments, so I listened to the majority, and the majority want to get into Rampage. So let's go ahead and kick off this stream with Rampage, and then we'll close things out with SmackDown. All right, so I'm actually really glad we're starting off this way because the first portion of Rampage was definitely the best thing that I got in all the 3 hours of wrestling content that I consumed today. This was my favorite match of the night that I saw. It was the thing that we got, you know, somewhat of a little surprise, some storyline movement, etc. We got a lot that went down here for the opening of Rampage. And so essentially it was Andrade versus Rey Fénix. This is legitimately, this could be a pay-per-view match. I mean, honestly, you could even argue that this match, I mean, I definitely feel you could argue that this match could have been on Dynamite, but at least on being on AEW Rampage, it kind of gets like the sole focus because it took up like from the start of the show until like all of the post-match shenanigans ended, it was probably roughly about 25 minutes worth of AEW Rampage time. And given that the show is only an hour, taking up about 25 minutes of the show is a pretty good chunk of time. So I can't necessarily argue too much about it being on Rampage. I kind of liked it because it got a lot of attention and a lot of time for these two guys to go out there and really kill it. So let's actually talk about this match. So this started off really smooth, really nicely. And by that, I mean it had a really nice start with both guys kind of, knowing what the other guy was going to do. Both of them executing leapfrogs. Both of them, going for, there was a moment where Rey Fénix did a springboard hurricanrana. I don't even know what he did. And then immediately following that, we saw Andrade get him with one as well. So it was kind of like this back and forth right at the beginning, but very, very smooth, you know? They paid tribute to Eddie Guerrero with the Three Amigos. We saw a brutal stomp from Andrade to Fénix. We saw Fénix do a springboard dropkick onto Andrade. We saw a frog splash from Fénix. There was Andrade's pants. I don't know when, but at some point they even ripped off from the side. There was a moment, and I don't know, and maybe the chat can fill me in on this one here. There was a moment, and I really wish they would have shown a replay of this so that I could have looked harder, but there was a moment where Fénix was walking the ropes, where he was walking the top rope, right? And I don't know if this was supposed to happen, if Andrade was supposed to like kind of make him trip and fall, or if that was an accident. It happened so fast that I didn't really get to see if this was on purpose or in an accident. So I can't even tell you guys that for sure, but even that looked brutal. And kind of from this point on, after like that slip from the top rope, we saw a lot of things that were like, oh shit, now they're going kind of like that next level. There was a moment that, oh, it was so brutal to watch. And this they did show replays of. And it was when Andrade was trying to run those knees into Rey Fénix, but Fénix moves out of the way. So Andrade's knees just go straight into the ring post. And dude, it looked freaking brutal, okay? We've all hit our shins on the bed. We've all stubbed our toe. And granted, maybe the toe might hurt a little bit more. I don't know. Having seen Andrade's knees just completely collide. Oh, I felt the pain, man. I felt the pain during this. There was also a moment where Rey Fénix did a stomp off the top rope to Andrade. But if you paid attention like closely, it almost looked like, okay, so like usually like you see the stomp, right? This time it was like, you see, okay, so this was, pretend this is Andrade's back, and then this hand here is the stomp from Rey Fénix. Usually you would probably see something like this and then like a bounce or something, right? What we saw here was really interesting because it almost looked like he slid off of Andrade's back. So it looked even more brutal. So even though I like screamed during this part. I screamed during this part because it looked like a slip and slide. But either way, that was a really, really awesome moment. By the way, in regards to that moment during the match, we got a comment here from Ray Mungus who says, my second viewing of the spot seemed like Andrade pulled the ropes on purpose. That's what I thought too, because it didn't seem like they played it off really well, where if you only caught it one time, it's like, oh, I don't know if that was on purpose or in an accident. So from the looks of it, it was on purpose. But the way that they played it off, it looked even more, more interesting. We saw a Spanish fly executed. And then at one point, we see Jose the assistant throw in the tablet to Andrade so that he could essentially cheat. And Andrade tries to cheat, but obviously the referee catches it. And she's like, nope, this is not happening. Andrade then goes for the low blow to Rey Fénix, and Rey Fénix manages to block it. So then instead, he pokes Rey Fénix in the eye, and that's kind of how Andrade is able to get his momentum a little bit back afterwards. And then this is where more things happen. We got what I think it was Jericho who called it the Battle of the Nerds, where they had Alex Abrahantes and Jose the Assistant in the ring at the same time fighting each other, and they're, doing their thing. And on the outside, you have Rey Fénix and Andrade doing their thing. And then out of nowhere, we got Rush. A Rush came in here, and we did get to see Rush at Double or Nothing, but it was a quick backstage segment. We hadn't really heard much. I think after an interview he did, he, you know, revealed that he wasn't officially signed by AEW, but that he was, you know, doing like a per appearance thing. And so, you know, we really weren't sure, okay, when are we going to see Rush again? You know, it's been a little bit since Double or Nothing, but he came out here today and he hit Rey Fénix in the balls. And so that's how Rey is essentially, he ends up losing this match and Andrade gets the win. So with the help of Rush, and then they basically, you know, they do their thing. They rip off the shirt and you see the shirt that says La Facción Ingobernables. And so, you know, they raise up the hands, they got their moment and they basically let us know that, hey, this stable, this faction, La Facción Ingobernable is officially happening here in AEW. And I got to tell you, this was a freaking cool moment. However, and I'll take your guys' thoughts on this right now. However, I'm curious to see how this is going to work out because there are two options here that I think can happen. One, they can book this and have this be really freaking awesome, or two, they could kind of just like not like I'm very nervous to see how they're going to book this. And the reason I say that is because I really think that with Rush and Andrade, given how much charisma they have, and I know some people are going to be like, oh, the language barrier. If they are booked properly, the language barrier will not be an issue. And I'll tell you why. Because both of these guys have so much charisma. Like, the charisma that they have is just an overload amount of charisma. Like, you cannot teach that kind of charisma. They got the cool factor. And so when you got those things, if you're booked properly, regardless of the language barrier, they're definitely going to hit it off. The other thing that I do hope that they don't do, I don't want them to do the thing that, you know, we see a lot of times, especially, you know, obviously in like American promotions, where when you have like a Latino faction, you only have them wrestle other Latinos. I hope they don't do that. I hope they actually have them branch out and feud against some of the other stables. And it, again, it all really depends on how they book this, because if they book it properly, they got all the tools needed to really make them have a new stable that can be, a star stable. Now, one more thing that I want to add before I read your guys' comments is, you know, a lot of people on my comment section immediately were like, oh, you know, what about Dragon Lee? Is Dragon Lee going to come in? My hopes are that if they do bring in anybody else, it either should be Dragon Lee or Dralístico. Either one of those two, if they were to be added to La Facción Ingobernable, like, you know, how Dragon Lee was in ROH and all of that, I think those would be the two options here in AEW. I personally don't think I'd want to see anybody else, because if they add somebody else, like, I wanted to make sure it actually fits. And then on top of that, I feel like I'd rather have it just be Andrade and Rush and the possibility of Dragon Lee or Dralístico added to this than anybody else. If you're going to add anybody else, just let it be Rush and Andrade instead. So that's kind of where I'm at right now in terms of, you know, just like overall, expectations of this. So I think this has a really strong possibility of being something different on the show that they don't already have. You know, this could be totally different from what you're seeing, you know, from the Blackpool Combat Club, etc. Like all the different factions that they have in AEW. I think that this one will bring something different to the table. So, thoughts here, guys. How did you feel about this match? How did you feel about the reveal with Rush and Andrade? Let's see some thoughts in here and see what people are saying. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. Let's get some thoughts in here. Let me go through these comments here. Let me make sure I got some good ones here. All right. Let's see. Where are we at? Brandon Rose said, yes, you guys, I say Rush, but you can say Roosh. And that will be, you know, obviously a little longer to say, but you can definitely say it like that. The Kayaput says, a new faction formed. I'm bummed. I missed that. I love new factions. Ben Leeper says, not enough factions in AEW. The Kayaput says, exactly. Book them properly and people will watch. And let's see what... Dee Kamai makes a joke saying, I love Andrade's language barrier. We would never have gotten Mr. Stink. We haven't heard of Mr. Stink in a while, although that was pretty damn hilarious. Like, I could laugh. Like, we could laugh at that. You know, that's funny. Let's see what else we got here. The Kaiaput also says, have them destroy the Jazz. I would enjoy that immensely. Dude, let's not even compare charisma levels here because they would completely, like, Jericho is carrying the entire Jazz with charisma. But when you got Rush and freaking Andrade, like, that's like double right there. And Nick Jericho's carrying Jazz like on his own, right? Like, in terms of charisma, like, he is the charisma of that team. Let's go ahead and get some more comments. Sandra says the original Ingobernables was Rush, Andrade, and La Mascara, who I love as well, BTW. Let's see what else we can. Bobby C says, just don't put them against the Nightmare Factory. Oh, Jesus. Alrighty, guys. So there you go. That was the opening of AEW Rampage. And that was definitely by far kind of the best thing we saw in these 3 hours of professional wrestling. After this on Rampage, Jesus, there's not that much. Let's be real. There's not that much. Before we get to that, we got a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson. By the way, Sheldon, thank you so much for just sending so much support across all of these different platforms. I see you. I recognize your name. I know you. Sheldon says, I'm just imagining seeing LFI and LIJ together again. It would be simply fire. Talk about just an explosion of stars and charisma all around. And I've been mentioning charisma a lot, but Jesus Christ, like, this is wrestling. Like, people not only just get over with, like, their in-ring skills, but also with what they bring in terms of personality. You know, it's an entire show that encompasses, you know, a lot of, like, theatrics and, you know, all of that good stuff. I don't want to say it. It's sports entertainment. All right. Sorry, guys. I worked myself into this. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for sending in this as well. Oh, man. Fernando Zaya says, I was very happy to see Rush and hope to see more of him in AEW. That's the thing about Rush. Like, Rush is an interesting guy. And as long as, I don't know how else to say it, but as long as Tony Khan can keep him happy, then I'm expecting things to work out and to work out well. But, you know, just keep in mind that he's not going to, like, you know, just, he's not going to let people just, like, step all over him. I don't know how else to say that. All right, moving on from here. Thank you so much to Dave Goldberg, who says Sports Entertainer of the Week, Denise Salcedo. Thank you. Someone go tell Chris Jericho that. Don't tell Chris Jericho that. It'll be weird. All right, moving on from here. We got a tag team match, and this was Serena Deeb and Mercedes Martinez teaming up together to take on Lainey Luck and Sierra. So first of all, Lainey Luck, I've gotten to see her wrestle quite a few times. Actually, maybe once or twice at Mission Pro Wrestling. I'm not completely sure how many times I saw her wrestle there. Sometimes I get confused. But this was a quick match. I didn't really think that there was much substance in it, in the sense that I didn't really get so much from this match. Serena and Mercedes get the win. And that's perfectly fine because, you know, Mercedes is your, you know, Ring of Honor Women's Champion. Good for her. You know, interim. She's the champion now. She's the champ. And I feel like her and Serena Deeb getting this win here, it feels like a solid thing to do for both girls. Like, Serena Deeb has been killing it with Thunder Rosa, or she was killing it with Thunder Rosa. Now that whole thing is finished. And Mercedes just having her come out on TV and have this opportunity, I think, was definitely good. You know, because we really haven't seen her that much. Like, let's be real, I even forgot right now what she even was in terms of the champion. That should basically tell you we haven't seen her that often. Unless you're watching Dark and Dark Elevation, which you guys already know I don't get to watch. So pardon me for forgetting. But either way, like, this was fine. It gave them a victory and it kind of just reminded you, hey, these are who these people are. So that was perfectly fine here. Let's see what else we got here. Bobby C says just a setup for a Mercedes versus Serena. And same thing with Dave, who also says the exact same thing. This is a comment from Andrew Cook, who says, I think they're just trying to give Deeb and Martinez some TV time for people to see how good they are before they each fight each other, especially after that little friction spot tonight. Completely agree. I feel like this was just, you know, TV time and a victory for, you know, mainly Serena and Mercedes, period. Alrighty, after this, we got the DKC versus Hook. The DKC, who is going to be taking part of on the Forbidden Door card, so good for him. I think for the most part, we all kind of knew what this was going to be. What we kind of see from Hook matches, and I don't mind it. I really don't mind it, you know, going in there and seeing him with a new opponent. It had been a little bit of a hot minute since we've seen Hook in action on Rampage, because for the most part, you know, he had been doing all of this with Danhausen, but that was more so like backstage segments or, you know, in-ring segments. But like, there was a while we were consistently seeing him on Rampage, you know, have these matches. So we kind of took a little break from that, and, you know, we're back to it, which I personally like. So this was a reminder of, you know, who Hook is. Well, we all know who Hook is, but who he is in the ring, rather. And he's still over with the crowd. The crowd was going nuts for him in the beginning, just like chanting his name. So that's still, you know, good for Hook. He still has the crowd hooked in. This was fine. Honestly, we see the DKC, you know, go up. He attacks the midsection of Hook for a bit, getting him with a couple of knees. Then he gets him with a couple of chops for a bit. And then finally, Hook kind of gets in his hits there. He does the overhead throw, and eventually he ends up hitting the red. Well, he executes the red rum, and DKC ends up tapping out. So this was a very simple, a straightforward match, kind of what you would expect, what you've been expecting from Hook, just with a different opponent. And given that the DKC is going to be part of Forbidden Door, I thought this was perfectly harmless. So this was a fine little match for Rampage. Good stuff there, guys. Good stuff. D-Kamai says Rampage ratings went down when Hook stopped appearing. Not an accident. Dave Goldberg says, I liked Chris Jericho's comment about Hook's gum. Yeah, Chris Jericho comes up with some random stuff. Sometimes you're like, what the hell, Jericho? And other times you're like, oh, shit, that's pretty funny. So we'll see what happens there. YT says, I miss seeing Hook in action. Seeing him compete again was refreshing. Completely agree. Andrew Cook says it was good to see Hook in a singles match again, but still just the usual squash. I miss Danhausen, though. We kind of, what was it, Dynamite or was it Rampage last week when we were talking about, when did they do the golf, not the golf cart segment? Well, I think Danhausen was like in a little golf cart type of deal. And then Hook was like in a little freaking little vehicle. I don't know, my cars. When was that? When they did that interview with Lexi Nair, was that on Rampage or was that on Dynamite? I don't even remember, guys. Sometimes this happens. It all becomes a big, giant blur of moments. But either way. All right. So we'll get to that in just a second. Before I move on to the main event, thank you. This was the golf carts things was about 2 weeks ago. Everybody's saying that was 2 weeks ago. No way. I thought that was like last week. Jesus. Okay. Never mind. So I guess we did have a little bit of a moment's pause on Hook and Danhausen. All right. It's all a blur, guys. Main event time. We got Cash Wheeler versus Jeff Cobb. I loved this match. This was my second favorite match of the night. I thought in the beginning, I thought it was like, okay, at first, when the match first started, there was nothing that really said to me, oh my God, this is going to be extremely spectacular, right? Aside from like, okay, I like Cash Wheeler and I love Jeff Cobb. So I was thinking, all right, I'm expecting something good. But really quickly, they were like, oh, here, Denise, we're going to prove you wrong in just about 5 seconds. And they did. They did prove me wrong. They instantly grabbed my attention for this main event because it ended up being really, really good. Once I really started getting into it, there was a moment where Jeff Cobb was on the top rope, or like on the second rope, and he was pulling in Cash Wheeler, and Cash Wheeler was on the outside. And the way that he was grabbing him and like pulling him in, it almost seemed like he wanted to get him for a suplex or something. It was that moment where I was like, damn, Jesus Christ, Jeff Cobb. Like, we already know Jeff Cobb is like this very, like, he's a beast, man. Like, He's a beast. He's strong as hell. So you've seen him do some really cool stuff. But just like the way that he was like picking up Cash Wheeler, I thought was pretty freaking awesome. So then just when I was impressed with Jeff Cobb on that end, the moment was quickly like stolen from him, because Cash Wheeler literally picks up Jeff Cobb and gets him in a power bomb. Now, Cash Wheeler, you know, he's not a small guy by any means. I would say he's a little bit more like average sized, right? But Jeff Cobb is a lot bigger than Cash Wheeler. He's a bigger dude. And the way that Cash Wheeler got him for the power bomb, powerbomb. It just looked freaking cool because Jeff Cobb is just so much bigger than he is. Cobb then goes, we end up going to a commercial break. We come back. Cobb goes for a moonsault, but Wheeler moves out of the way, but still very nice. When you see a guy like the size of Jeff Cobb do a standing moonsault, it looks pretty freaking dope. So that was cool too. There was also a moment where Jeff Cobb just tossed Cash Wheeler to like the other side of the ring, like he was a frisbee. So that was great as well. And then for the finish, he ends up hitting the Tour of the Islands and gets the win. So Jeff Cobb gets the victory. Good stuff. Great way to end the show. But before, this is technically not the end of the show, because this kind of ends similarly to the way that AEW Dynamite ended with that big giant brawl. We ended up seeing that with Rampage here today, where we had the Great Okan coming out. Then Aussie Open comes out, and then we see Orange Cassidy. We see Roppongi Vice. We see them all start brawling. And just when you thought, okay, that's going to be the brawl, then you get the brawl between Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho. You see Kingston start stabbing Jericho. I think it was with a pencil or a pen or whatever. You see brawls on the stage. You see brawl around the ring. You see a brawl going into the crowd. It pretty much just goes into a madness. And that's pretty much how the show closes out. So it pretty much ended the same way as Dynamite with the big brawl. But it was fun. I think it just, again, gets you in the mood for Forbidden Door, and then also for Blood and Guts next week. So good little episode of AEW Rampage here. And before, I also do have to talk about the two new matches that were added to the show. Give me a second while I pull those up here. I'm always sharing these graphics and then I struggle to find them. But okay, I'm going to pull it up in just a second. I have them right now. But before I get to that, I want to read your guys' thoughts on the main event. And let's see what people are saying here. This is from Lenny Osborne, who says the ending tonight was way more organic than what we got on Wednesday night. Every time it seemed like it was starting to calm down, Kingston reignited it. There was also a moment where like Jericho just gets like in front of the camera and he like makes this face. I was so pissed because I wasn't recording Rampage today, and I usually recorded, so if I want to grab a screenshot, I can rewind. And this time I wasn't recording freaking Rampage, so I couldn't rewind and I couldn't get that damn screenshot of Chris Jericho. I was so pissed at myself. But it was pretty damn funny because he just goes into the camera like really closely and he just starts making this weird face. Oh, it was great. I really love that. Zeno Hour points out that Eddie was biting Chris Jericho. Let's see what else we got here. Let's see. We got Gringo Spanish, who says at the end of the day, it pretty much essentially literally ended that way. Let's see what else we got here. Andrew Cook says the announcer yelling about Eddie stealing the pen was funny. I agree. Dave Goldberg says Excalibur is like Eddie Kingston stole my pen and is stabbing Chris Jericho. Eddie comes back yelling, I want a pen. And Taz is like, we don't have any. That was good. That was really freaking good. Like, it stood out to me because they're like, we don't got any. Yeah, we're done already. They're out. And Eddie Kingston had the face of like, how the fuck are you out of these pens and pencils? Like, how dare you be out of these pens and pencils? And that's why I tweeted, like, I put a really dumb tweet afterwards, because, you know, all my tweets are dumb. I put, I hope Tony Khan books Eddie Kingston versus Chris Jericho in a Walmart or a Target so that they can fight in the school supplies aisles. They can use pens, they can use pencils, they can use erasers, etc. Really dumb tweet, but it popped me. But I liked it because it was just like, Kingston was, it looked like he was legitimately pissed. Like, how dare you be out of these pens? A little comedy here. It doesn't hurt anybody. So I really like that. And thank you to Amir F, who brought this up, because as I was tweeting it, I was thinking it, because this was like one of my favorite things I ever saw in wrestling as a kid. Amir says, we need Kingston and Jericho in a grocery store a la Stone Cold and Booker T. You know what's funny? So I wanted to go and visit that grocery store because I believe it was in Bakersfield. And I found out that apparently it closed down. That grocery store apparently is not a thing anymore. And I was like, what? That is a landmark. That is a pro wrestling landmark. But apparently it's closed down is what I hear. So I'm very upset because my whole life I've wanted to go to that grocery store ever since I saw the Stone Cold Booker T thing. And that's, you know, there's only a couple of, well, not a couple, but the really good moments in wrestling that you remember are the ones that, like, you just, I don't know how to explain it. You just remember. Like there, I could go back and pinpoint certain things where I'm like, I specifically remember what I was thinking about when I saw this, even though this was like, you know, over a decade ago. And I still remember what I was thinking inside my head. And this was one of them that I still remember what I was thinking inside my head. I even remember how I was sitting in front of the TV. Like it's little details like that, that I remember from like great moments, right? Anyways, it did remind me of that when I put that idea out there on Twitter. High Score Run says Eddie made Jericho his pen pal. Good one. Good one. Bobby C says schoolroom brawl. Somebody mentioned a back to school bash on Twitter, and I thought that one was pretty good. Hey, man, hey, if you can get Target to sponsor it, why the hell not? Get yourself a nice $1 million or something. If we can get a zombie match to promote a Netflix movie, we can get a match of Target. I don't think so, but either way, let's announce these matches that have been added to the buy-in. So earlier today, Tony Khan did a media call where he basically said that more matches were going to be added to the buy-in here today. And they added QT Marshall and Aaron Solo versus Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi. That's going to be happening at the buy-in. The other match that's happening is Kenemaru and El Desperado versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. That's going to be great. That's going to be one that I'm really glad that they added. This one feels pretty special. So I was very happy that they made this announcement for the buy-in card. So that adds even more. I believe now the actual pay-per-view is a total of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? No. Oh, shit. We got like 11, 12 matches, I believe, something along those lines. I forget. But either way, that was the matches that were announced for the buy-in here today. Brandon Rosen says, not a grocery store, but in Staples. I think they closed a lot of Staples down. Like they closed the one right by my house. So I don't even know if Staples is still like a thing. Office Depot, maybe? I think they closed the Office Depot. Never mind. I confused the two. All right. Moving on, guys, because we got SmackDown to get into here today. We only got a couple of items to talk about SmackDown, so there's not going to be a lot to talk about. MCaspito says 12 matches, 3 for the buy-in. Thank you so much to MCaspito for having my back here. Having my back. Actually, before we get into SmackDown, guys, I do have to do the ad read really quickly. So please give me a moment of your time to promote the Forbidden Door Pick'em Contest. As you guys know, I've been promoting this nonstop. Wrestle Rumble, our official sponsor here at Speak Now Pro Wrestling. And so basically what we got here is you head on over to WrestleRumble.com. You purchase an entry. You can purchase multiple entries. And what you do is you basically fill out a questionnaire form with a bunch of different prop questions. The kind of questions that they have in the questionnaire are like, will Kenny Omega enter the ring at any point during Forbidden Door? Will the Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay match go over or under 17 minutes? Will any tables break during the Mox versus Tanahashi match? You know, questions like that. So they're pretty simple, pretty easy, and you can actually win some actual money. The fourth place prize right now is a mystery prize. The third place prize is $100. The second place prize is $200. And the first place prize is a total of $500. That is a lot of good money, and you could be the one to win it. Put your wrestling predictions to the test. Have a little extra fun. Add a little extra layer of excitement to Forbidden Door. Head on over to WrestleRumble.com and enter the Forbidden Door Pick'em Contest. The cutoff time to enter the contest is this coming Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Once again, the cutoff time to enter the contest is this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So do not miss out your opportunity to enter the Forbidden Door Pick'em Contest over at WrestleRumble.com. Oh, man. So I'm just going to put myself over really quickly because that was the best read I've ever done for the Wrestle Rumble one. I usually botch it. Like there's always one botch. Always. That was my best one. All right, moving on to WWE SmackDown. So we got some interesting stuff here today, guys. Overall, it was a show. It was a show. It would be nice because I don't want everybody in the YouTube comments to yell at me. I get some comments like, Denise, stop reviewing SmackDown. You suck. Stop reviewing SmackDown. I'm like, I suck? I suck? Nah, bro. Because if it's good, you know I'll say it's good. But if it sucks, then I'll say it sucks. But I see that stuff. So I'm going to be nice today. I'm going to play nice today, all right? We got a Drew McIntyre promo to open up the show. And he's basically saying that Roman Reigns is ducking him. He says that he has to force his hand by entering the, by becoming Mr. Money in the Bank. Last week, we were informed by Adam Pearce that both Drew McIntyre and Sheamus had been added to the Money in the Bank. It was official. It was a one and done. They were in. Okay, fine. So then Sheamus comes out and, you know, I'm just over Drew and Sheamus at this point. Like, I've just seen them interact with each other so much. But anyways, whatever. He tells him you don't belong in this match. Paul Heyman comes out. Adam Pearce comes out. Long story short, things are completely, they crack the egg open, spill the yolk, and they redo everything here. So what we have here is Adam Pearce saying that neither Sheamus nor Drew McIntyre are no longer in the Money in the Bank. They're taken out. They're out of the Money in the Bank. In order to get back into the Money in the Bank, they have to defeat the Usos in a tag team match. So therefore, let me dumb this down for everybody. If Drew McIntyre and Sheamus can coexist together and successfully defeat the Usos today, then they are back in the Money in the Bank match. Oof. All right. And then also, just FYI, this was not for the titles, nothing. Like, this was literally just for them to earn their spot back into the Money in the Bank match. Well, let's fast forward to the main event, because this ended up being the main event. Sheamus and Drew versus the Usos, again, for them to get their spot back into the Money in the Bank. This was actually a pretty fun match. This was a fun match. The highlight of this match was Drew McIntyre. I mean, the dude just comes in with so much energy and so much power and intensity. He like wakes you up, man, and just like sweeps you off his feet when he's doing what he does in there. There was a moment where Dawkins on the outside of the ring pounces Sami Zayn because he was out there as an honorary Uso. That was a funny moment. I really like that. We see Drew McIntyre end up doing a dive onto the Usos. I believe it was the Street Profits. I mean, there was a bunch of people on the outside. And so Drew McIntyre does a dive onto them. Inside the ring, we see a super kick from Jimmy to Drew. And then Drew follows up with a claymore, and that's how he gets the win for his team. So voila, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre are back in the Money in the Bank match. Personally, I hated the idea of taking them out and then having them do this coexisting match to get them back in. Everybody, and I mean everybody and their mothers, knew that Sheamus and Drew were going to be put back into that freaking Money in the Bank match. I would have actually liked them to shock me. I would have liked them to be like, the Usos win. Sheamus and Drew, you're out. Anything to make me feel like this was actually made for a reason. The reason I feel this match was made was because there were no other options for a main event on the show. So I would have, you know what? I would have even liked it this way. You know what? This is what I even would have liked. If last week they could have done this. Okay, fine. They could have done this coexisting thing with Sheamus and Drew versus the Usos. Fine. Let's say they could have done last week. If you guys win, if Sheamus and Drew win, then this week you guys can be in a qualifier. I don't know. Maybe if they would have swapped it, I would have liked it a little bit better. But I wasn't crazy about this because I kind of felt like this was just, we don't got any other options. So this is what we're going to do. You're out and you're back in. So yeah, this was pretty interesting. So now for the men's Money in the Bank right now, we have Seth Rollins. We have Omos. We have Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, and Sheamus. We got two names left so far we have two spots to fill still. Who those two spots are, not entirely sure. But in terms of the options for winning here, I mean, there's a storyline with Seth Rollins and, you know, him winning the Money in the Bank and eventually at some point, you know, cashing in. It could be on Cody or something. I don't know. They could work their way to that, right? So I feel like a lot of people kind of feel they're going to go that direction. Drew McIntyre, okay, fine. He can win and he can cash in on Roman Reigns. That's another possibility. He can maybe even do it at SummerSlam after maybe Roman Reigns defeats Brock Lesnar for the 100th time in the last man standing match at SummerSlam. I don't know. But something tells me, guys, and do not punish me for this. Something tells me that it's going to be neither Seth Rollins nor Drew McIntyre. I have a feeling it's going to be Omos. I have had this feeling since a couple weeks ago, and I even said it on the Raw post show. I was like, it's going to be Omos. They're going to do the whole height thing, you know, where he doesn't, maybe he only climbs like two steps on the ladder, maybe one, goes up, bam, grabs the money in the bank. I have a feeling it's going to be Omos. Now, do I agree with that? No. Do I want that? No. Who I would want to win? Honestly, I'm good with either Seth, Drew, or Sammy. Please not Sheamus. I wouldn't want Sheamus to win, and I wouldn't want Omos to win. And again, we don't know the other two guys yet, so I can't really say anything just yet about those other two guys. Gringo Spanish says, I may quit watching. Kyler says, no. Anybody but Omos. I'm telling you guys. Kyle puts us, if Omos wins Money in the Bank, I'll start watching WWE. I'm telling you guys, I think it's a possibility. Because what else are they going to do with Omos? Tell me, like, what else are they going to do with Omos? What else is there for him? Is he going to go back into this feud with Bobby Lashley and feud for another year with him? Is he going to feud against Veer? I'm telling you, I have a feeling he's going to win the Money in the Bank. Don't shoot the predictor. Let's see what else we got here. This is from Nicholas Jacobs, who says, I know Edge is out right now, but I would love Edge in a Money in the Bank ladder match one more time, seeing as how he won the very first one at WrestleMania 21. And this is from Bobby C, who says, a stipulation should have been this. If they lose the match tonight, but either of them win the Money in the Bank, they will not be allowed to challenge Reigns after the last man standing match. That could have been something. Anything that could have been not feeling like a waste of time. Let's see what else we got here. High Score Run says, WWE looking at these comments and thinking Omos equals heat. Oh, man. Oh, bless Omos's heart, but it ain't happening right now. He hasn't had that, like, moment, you know, that moment where people are like, you know, I like Omos. Yeah, I like Omos. It was working for a bit with him and AJ, but then it just went downhill, unfortunately. All right, let's see what else we got here. Sami Zayn, I actually already spoiled it, my bad. But he defeats Shinsuke Nakamura and qualifies for the Money in the Bank. This was an all right little match. It felt more a little bit like a comedy match. It really didn't feel like a serious match. Sami tries to cheat at one point. There was a good moment, though, where Shinsuke hits Sami with a knee in the back of the head, and it actually got a really good reaction when Sami kicked out, they got like a really good crowd reaction after that. But Sami hit the Huluva kick and he actually gets the win. I was very glad that Sami made it into this Money in the Bank match because he is so freaking great, and I'm so tired of him always be like, he does the comedy stuff great, but sometimes I feel like they keep him, you know, a couple notches down because, you know, he does the comedy stuff so great that I feel like they don't see him at a certain level. And Sami Zayn could do the top stuff, man. Like, he doesn't always have to be like in the mid card, you know? So I love Sami Zayn, and I'm really happy that he got into this Money in the Bank match, because I would rather have seen Sami Zayn than Shinsuke in this Money in the Bank match. So that's pretty much that. Let's talk about the Viking Raiders, because Kingston and Woods are basically dancing it out with Shanky, because that's Shanky's thing. He dances every week on Friday Night SmackDown. It was cute the first time. It was cute the second time. Now I'm just like, oh man, this is going to keep going for like a year. Whatever. So the Viking Raiders, they return. We hadn't seen them in a bit because they've been over at NXT having bomb-ass matches with the Creed brothers. But they return and they attack Kingston and Woods and Shanky from behind, and they kind of look a little bit more, they look a little different, they look a little bit more beastly, and by that I mean they have more makeup. At least it seemed to me they were wearing more makeup, like more of the black makeup on their face. They looked more savage, their heels. I liked it. I was like, all right, fine. You know why? Because the Viking Raiders were getting incredibly stale on SmackDown. Incredibly stale. I love seeing them on NXT. Loved it. The work that they did with Creed Brothers was chef's kiss. Some of the best stuff we'd seen on NXT 2.0. So I'm happy to see the Viking Raiders back here and getting this little, you know, just a little bit, not really a change, more so a tweak, I would say, because yeah, their gear looked a little bit different too. I think they went back more to like their original look because lately they had been looking a little bit cartoonish, but it kind of seems to me like their gear changed a little bit too. But I would have to see a side-by-side photo because I don't remember details like that. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and move on from here. We got a Natty and Ronda Rousey segment. I got to tell you, this wasn't too terrible. Now, when the whole thing was decided that Natty was going to be facing Ronda, I was like, oh, man, I really wasn't looking forward to that. But you know what? They have been doing a pretty good job. And I don't know how some people are going to feel about this segment, but I got to tell you, I kind of enjoyed it. I kind of enjoyed it. And there were a lot of people on Twitter that were writing to me and basically telling me they felt this was one of Ronda's best promos in recent times. And I got to agree with them. She came out. She seemed more confident. She seemed fired up. She seemed interested in what she was doing with Natty. And that's the key thing with Ronda is whether or not she's interested. You can tell if she's interested or not in what she's doing. But we have Natty coming out and she's dressed as Ronda Rousey and she's mocking her. She's got the hair and the makeup. She even has a baby stroller without a baby. I'm like, come on. Buy a little doll, put the little doll or something. But then things probably would have gotten too iffy. But either way, so she comes out there with a stroller. She's got the whole little outfit on. And then Ronda Rousey comes out. And Ronda kind of threw a shot at her. And this didn't really, the crowd didn't seem to either, I don't think they understood it, or I didn't think they really heard what Ronda said. But it came crystal clear on television because she comes out and she basically tells Natty, like, Natty, is that you, Natty? Natty, I didn't recognize you without your rack out. And I'm like, what? Okay. Sure. So she basically starts throwing some shots at Natty and how she basically subjects herself to like ridiculous beauty standards and this and that. So it kind of became like a little bit of like a female on female beauty standards type of thing. A little beef there that they had. I didn't mind it. She got into the ring. She got into her face. She tried taking her jacket off. She got pissed. They fought. This was fine. I did not hate this because I was, and I mean, I had zero interest in Natty and Ronda. They got me to get some interest in this. So you know what? Kudos to them. Kudos to them. I'm interested. They are doing a lot more than I thought they would in terms of their little creative for this. So it was fine. Again, Brandon Rosen says, oh God, I thought it was cringe. I'll take that. I'll take that over what I thought it was going to be at this point, honestly. But I know a lot of people probably were not going to be liking this at all. HB Goose says, Denise, what's your favorite video game if you play any? I don't play video games, guys. I'm not a video gamer. It's my non-thing. I just never really been into them. But if I were to play video games when I used to as a kid, like randomly, like super randomly, I played Grand Theft Auto, I played Resident Evil, and I played Final Fantasy, and I also played another one. Ooh, what was the name of it? I was going to say Somebody Shoots Somebody, but those are pretty much like all the games. Oh my, Manhunt. I used to play Manhunt, like randomly, okay? And I mean very randomly. Oh, and of course, occasional wrestling games. Like I played those throughout a bunch of times. I did play those video games only because I grew up, you know, my boy cousin, he played video games and my uncle played video games. And so sometimes my cousin would be like, Denise, can you play with me? And I'd be like, I don't want to play. And he'd be like, please. So I'd play with him. So that's how I got involved playing these games. It's not because I sought them out myself. All right. So there you go. Just a little bit of some background there. But let's move on because afterwards we got Gunther versus Ricochet in a rematch for the Intercontinental Championship. I thought their first match was actually better than this match. No. The last match, the one where Gunther actually won the title, I thought that one was better than this one. This one was all right. Ricochet caught Gunther with a couple of knees, and they kind of teased, you know, a possible victory for Ricochet. But quickly, right afterwards, Walter gets him with he gets him with a lariat, then he gets him with a chop, then a uppercut, and then a couple more chops, and then he ends up winning the match. So figures that was going to happen. And this was a rematch because it was a rematch. And hopefully we don't see this match again because we've seen it a bunch. But we'll see what they do with Gunther right after this. But Gunther gets the win. Kudos. I love Gunther. I'm a big fan of Gunther. All right. let's see what we got here. We got Tamina versus Shotzi in a qualifier match. I didn't care for this match at all. Tamina hits Shotzi with a boot to the face. And she goes for the pin. And it seems like she's going to defeat Shotzi, but she doesn't. Because like right before the three, like right before Shotzi gets her foot up, eventually we see Shotzi get the win. Good for her. That's exactly what it needed to be. But I completely tuned out during this match because I just can't get into. I just couldn't get into it. Apologies. Bobby C says it was quick, but it wasn't good. I know. I know. All right. Let's go ahead and get into the maximum male model situation. Now, for the last couple of weeks, Max Dupree, the former LA Knight, I was going to say Eli Drake. Well, the former LA Knight / former Eli Drake, he has been teasing bringing in this model for the last couple of weeks. Now, this model has yet to come out on TV. They keep teasing the spotlight and then nothing happens, right? And he keeps yelling at Adam Pearce and it's getting a little bit like annoying, but whatever. So he comes out there and he's like, you didn't have this stuff ready for my model. How do you expect us to work in these situations? You were supposed to have the dressing room ready and it's supposed to be set at 68.3 degrees with crystal spring water. It's not like we're asking for much. And he's so pissed at Adam Pearce. And then he says that Maximum Male Models is going to, quote, what did he say? He attend to something. Oh my gosh. He said he was going to like juice the guilty, get the guilty pleasures that are juicy. Oh my gosh. Forgot what he said, but it was along those lines of like guilty, juicy pleasures. I don't know. It was weird. That's the point where I'm trying to get at. It was like, oh, this kind of turned into like a rated R thing where you're like, oh, the juices and it's going to be so guilty and this and that. And I don't know what else. And I was like, oh God. So I'm not a fan of the maximum male models things. I'm like, if you're going to do this, it's got to be funny. If you're going to do this, it has to be funny. Like the whole Ezekiel thing, it's funny, right? It's really stupid, but it's funny and it's working. And it's one of my favorite things to watch on Raw. But then you got this Maximum Male Bottle stuff. And I'm like, okay, if it was funny, I'd be on board. But it's not funny. It's actually a little bit annoying. Just tell me who this... I honestly think that the model is going to be Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce is just magically going to be the model. He's just going to come out one day, strip away the clothes, and be like, you know, put a little music on there and get a vibe going. That's what I think is bound to happen. Also, I think I skipped a match. We did. We had a handicap match between... Sonya Deville and Lacey and Raquel. Sonya Deville was talking smack to Adam Pearce, saying that the women are talking crap about him, that he's in over his head. And so she basically irritates the hell out of him. So he puts her in a handicap match. Lacey Evans gets the win for her team with the women's right. That's about it. All right, let's see what else we got here. We got Silent Services. I can't wait to I think it's Alrod. Isn't it Alrod, not Alroy? Alrod makes his debut in WWE. Yeah, that's going to be happening. AU says Alalina. I don't even know anymore. The Kaya put says guilty juice. Bottle it, sell it. Guilty juice. Oh, man. Oh, let's see. Let's move on from this, guys. Pat McAfee challenges Happy Corbin to a match at SummerSlam. I'm completely good with that. I'm completely okay with that. Pat McAfee has not done anything to make me think otherwise. So I'm totally and completely on board with this. Oh, that's it. That's all we got for SmackDown today, everybody. Woo, we did it. All right, guys, that was AEW Rampage. That was WWE SmackDown. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Once again, before I wrap up this show, friendly reminder that I will be back next week. I will be here on Tuesday chatting NXT 2.0. Wednesday, I will be here talking about AEW Dynamite. We got Blood and Guts and obviously the fallout from Forbidden Door. And then Friday, I will be back here once again to... I won't be here on Friday because I will be in Las Vegas. Never mind, I will not be here on Friday. Also, for those of you who want to talk more Forbidden Door and want to get into the predictions and all of that, I did do a prediction show with Brian Alvarez that got really, really great. Brian and I got to the point where we were arguing with one another. Things got a little sassy in the Zoom. So go in there and watch that show. A lot of people really enjoyed it. They enjoyed the chemistry between Brian and I. So please make sure that you guys head on over and watch that if you are interested in watching a Forbidden Door prediction show. I do not know if I will be doing a Forbidden Door post show. It really all depends on my internet situation while I'm traveling to these shows. But keep an eye out for all of the Media Scrum videos. They will be posted over on my YouTube channel. All right. Besides that, guys, have an awesome weekend. Enjoy Forbidden Door. And I will see you guys next week. Bye, everyone.